I don't know which one of the microphones worked. How's this one? Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, when Mr. von Mises took the floor for the second time this morning, I wasn't quite sure whether his words were directed against my paper or not. And we discussed, we had a little argument about that, and as to the critical points, he said they were not directed against my paper, but still I would like to say a few words in order to avoid some misunderstanding. He began by citing my terms of legitimate and non-legitimate concentration factors. And so I felt attacked, of course. I would say at the beginning that there are two points on which I fully agree with Professor von Mises. The one that all activity in the economic field has to serve the consumer. That's quite correct and fully undersigned by me too. And the second one, that there should be no privileges, whatever. But my point, of course, was not to speak on behalf of privileges for the middle class or for small business, but the situation was just vice versa. I was speaking on privileges granted today in Western Germany to big business and to the necessity of eliminating these privileges. And if Professor von Mises so strongly emphasized that there should be no state intervention, in that respect, I just mentioned there is some state intervention going on, but not for the benefit of the small, for the benefit of big business. And that was my point. I don't think it would be right to say to my paper that I had the idea of intervening to help the poorer product to compete with the better, or to force the consumer to buy poorer products. I said clearly enough, I think, where there is genuine superiority of big business in serving the consumer, it's quite correct. It should go on like that. There is no reason against it. We have to accept this legitimate concentration. But what I meant by non-legitimate concentration factors were the privileges granted by state intervention to big business, and I simply cannot imagine that such an ardent and outstanding antagonist to state intervention as Professor von Mises is, that he can approve of such privileges. That was the point I was trying to make this morning. The problem here is that if Professor von Mises said an entrepreneur should not be prevented from underselling in order to serve the consumer, that a great many of our small and medium-sized businesses are prevented from underselling their large competitors, for instance, by those non-legitimate concentration impulses. Now, in that respect, I was asked by one of the later discussion speakers and by some other people outside this audience to give a list, a complete list of those non-legitimate concentration impulses. And here, to a certain extent, I must disappoint you. I cannot, of course, produce this list right out of my sleeve and show to you in a complete catalog. That is not possible. There are several things to be listed, but it's rather difficult to divulge on them in a short speech like that. We would have to make proper assessments, for instance, to compare the income tax of an independent entrepreneur at a certain income with the corporation tax of a corporation, and that corporation tax is again combined with the income tax of the shareholder, the big shareholder of that corporation. That simply is not possible to produce in a short discussion remark like this one. As far as the whole of these non-legitimate concentration factors is concerned, of course, I was referring to German examples. And I'm not sure that the same examples prevail in all your countries. They may show up to a certain extent also in Austria and even in Italy, as we heard tonight by the man accompanying our bus, the bus of the main speakers and the officers, when he told us that Fiat had practically no suppliers, because in that case an additional tax would have to be paid if they take in the product of other stages. That would be more profitable for them to produce these articles within their own range. That's about the situation with our turnover tax, which I cited as the only example of a non-legitimate concentration factor. Some more examples are listed in the complete text of my paper, which was distributed to you at the entrance. And I am ready to send to you a larger treatise on that in a few weeks or months, as we are preparing something like that at home, where all these things are strictly listed and much better than I could produce them here in a short speech. Two other things I would like to mention. A short remark still to Professor von Mises. He said that the development country, in anticipating the discussion of tomorrow, he said the development country need in the first place big business. They have enough small business already. I'm not a speaker of tomorrow. I'm not on the agenda. That's why I would like to announce my strongest opposition conceivable to this idea that what the development countries need most is big business. I think quite the opposite. I think it is a very unhappy affair to continue setting up more and more large factories in those countries which do not at all correspond to the sociological structure, to the supply of workers, to the educational system, and to a great many other things. What they have to learn in those countries is to develop middle class and small business. That's the most important thing if we want to keep these countries a bit near to the Western camp. There's no surer way to produce communism in those countries than by setting up one large business after the other. I think that is a very great mistake. And I would like to add anyhow that we cannot consider these questions only from the rational point of economic supply and not consider any political or social or sociological or moral deliberations. For instance, Mr. Milton Friedman said one thing. I am not sure he is here.
Yes,
he is. He said one thing which is quite correct. He said we cannot blame the entrepreneur for using his market chances, even if they were wrong from an overall economic point of view. That's quite correct. As market participants, the entrepreneurs are quite right in taking all the chances they can get, in taking the prices they can get, in making use of the tax laws as they are in that particular country. That's quite correct. But then he went on by saying, it is up to the rest of us to change the economic and social order, to see that the order as a complete structure is correct. We cannot blame that upon the entrepreneurs. I should say the entrepreneurs as market participants, they have the full right to follow their interest in the market. But all these entrepreneurs at the same time are citizens. And as citizens, they are responsible for the whole of their country, for the common wealth of their country. They are in that capacity as citizens responsible for the structure of their economic and social order. That's quite another level, of course, of responsibility. On the one hand, as a market participant who has in a market economy the right to follow his interest, and on the other hand, to the responsibility as a citizen in the second responsibility, they cannot follow their market interests, but they have to see that the economic order as a whole retains or gains for the first time its ability to function properly and to reach some extent of political stability or political durability. I think that should be the first idea. A citizen, even the entrepreneur as a citizen, should keep in mind in his efforts in trying to influence the economic policy at his capital. Another thing that slightly worried me was in the speech of Mr. Griffin, if I may anticipate that right now, that he said so clearly the NCT Corporation, the large corporation, has become an institution by itself. I'm sorry, I'm just citing you, Mr. Griffin. If I may repeat once more, I cited your term that the large corporation is getting an independent institution, more or less, an institution as such. Even if that is right to a certain extent, I don't think we should in any way put up with it, because that is a very dangerous development. If we simply state the large corporations are institutions whatsoever, independent institutions, then the way is very short to saying, let's do away with property and shareholders at all, then they can just as be entirely independent institutions, responsible to no one or responsible to the state. They can just be then in the ownership of the state. And I don't think that would be a development which we could so welcome from our liberal point of view. That's one of the points where I had the idea we just couldn't, particularly from the liberal point of view, just couldn't let things go and run. Then we have to think and we have to find a solution for that problem and try to find out what can we do, even under the modern conditions of large corporations, which to a certain extent necessarily diminish the influence of the proprietors, namely the shareholders. Then we have to come to some other stipulations in order to keep these large corporations in the field of private business and to defend private business against the attacks by the trade unions or by state politicians or by socialists or other people. Then I think in another respect, the remarks by Professor von Mises this morning in his second remark a little bit bypassed the problems we have to deal with today. The task to obliterate all the non-legitimate concentration factors is still so great and so difficult, and a great many things we had thought out in order to better the fairness, to improve the fairness of competition, for instance, have not been accomplished yet, that I think we have in that field work for years ahead. And to make quite clear my point at the end, I'm in no way an advocate of any privileges for medium-sized businesses or small business. I never represent a so-called middle-class policy. Of course, there are also in our country some people trying to institute that. We are strictly opposed to that. You cannot blame auto-liberalism or neoliberalism for a middle-class polity which is tried to institute by some of our politicians. Ludwig Erhard always says, the minister for the middle classes, that's me. Not me, but him, of course.